Don't you be afraid. Don't you let fear creep in. Don't you worry about what they're doing. Maybe you've never prayed before. Now is your chance. This is your time. The Lord is, He is raising up an army. We are in a spiritual battle, honey. You can't just sit there and just watch what's going on this television and in our nation. Don't you be afraid. Don't you back down for one moment. God is, I can see the army just winding up. It's one. And guess what? They're standing. They're with us. They're right behind us. They're running towards us. This is a spiritual battle. Don't you back down and be afraid. Now is your time to stand your ground. Don't you let them take Jesus out of our nation. You rise up. Maybe you've never prayed before. It's okay. You don't know how to pray. You pray, help, Lord, in Jesus' name. Don't you lay down and take it. Don't you just walk away from it and be afraid. This is your finest hour, honey. Amen. You better get up. You better get up. I mean, I see an army that is vast. They outnumber us. When we pray, the Lord sends the angels. They're coming. They're rising up. Oh, valley of dry bones. Don't you be dry. Don't you dry up. You be encouraged. This is our finest hour. Church, rise up. Get up. Don't you lay down in that pew and do nothing. Look, you don't have to be me. Lord, don't be me. You know, don't be Lori. Be you. Pray the way God created you to pray. This is our finest hour. Don't you be afraid. Don't you look fear in the face and cower down to it. You put your shoulders back and you stand up and you stand your ground. We're going to take it back. We're going to, not us. Jesus is going to take it back, but he needs you. Just like Doc's book, he needs a body. So you better get in it and you better get on it. Because it's coming.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's all stand in the house of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of our God. For the enemy you see today, you will see them again no more. The Lord will fight for you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, we're excited today. Evangelist Dwight Thompson is with us. Let's give him a big Calvary Cathedral International welcome as Evangelist Dwight Thompson comes to minister the Word of God this morning.
Thank you, buddy.
God bless you, sir. Love you.
Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated. I'll tell you what, I don't know what that lady's name is over there. It just... But if I was the devil, I'd get out of her face in a hurry. But you know she's right. You know it's right. When you heard that new congresswoman come in and just say the most filthy language you've ever heard against the sitting president. Disgusting. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Well, we won't be intimidated.
No.
We surround our president with prayer.
Yes.
So she better get used to it.
God
never fails.
Never.
Amen. Zonell, we're not supposed to be here this morning. We're supposed to be in California. That was the plan, but then we make plans, and God can sometimes change that. But that's where we were to be. We've been scheduled to be there and announced to be there. And a pastor friend of ours passed away, a great church there in San Jose, and I know this is going out streaming. I just want to say to the family, as I've talked to them, pastor's wife, Shirley, and then the son, Kurt, and then Ken. And the pastor that passed away, his name is Kenny Foreman. And he's been there for some almost 50 years. And I've been going there about 35 of those years. Every year, and back when they just kind of got started and moved into that new building, and that church runs about 8,000 on Sunday. But I was to preach there two of those services today. But then something happened to my wife that just went through a real struggle this week. And I just called Shirley and Ken, who is the sitting pastor, the son, and just expressed to them and said, don't you dare leave her. Kenny's in heaven. He's already there. Amen. And you stay close to her. So she's had a rough week in her body, and I just felt like I needed to do what I should do, and that's stay with her. And so it wasn't but maybe a day later, if less than that, that the phone rang, and it was your pastor. He said, if you're here, I sure would like for you to come and preach. Well, I don't know why God worked everything out all like this. I know my reason for not going, but I'm here this morning, and I just want you to know I'm honored to be here. I'm so honored to be here. I want to also say that I hold in great respect this church. I hold in great respect every member of this congregation this morning. I respect you. I esteem you highly in the Lord. Hallelujah. I esteem highly the pastor of this great church. I esteem highly that the vision and the non-compromising position he takes to thus saith the word of the Lord. I highly respect it's Sister Finley. I'm right on that, is it not? And that's Tony's. Now I've got it. Okay, I've got it. I got it. You're Karen? Karen, see? Thank you, Lord. That worked out good. You just gave me that. And Karen and Tony, the music, the wonderful people of this congregation. I don't know them. I've just met them from a time or two. But Karen, that word you gave today was from God, and people need to hear it. We're not a bunch of weak-kneed pygmies standing in soup lines begging for the handout. We're children of the Most High God. The devil can't walk into the church, slap around whom he ever wants to. If anybody's going to do any slapping around, we're the ones that's going to do it. And it's against the powers of the adversary. So Karen, you just got me all fired up all over again before I get started here. Thank you for the great word this morning. Brother Charlie, I sure love you, and I love each and every one of you this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Now, how many's ready just to listen for a few minutes to something that I know that the Lord has put on my heart? How many will do that for me? Thank you, Brother Charlie. That's exactly what I was looking for. And I want you to just listen, because I believe in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. How many agree to that? Amen. How many believe that we should be tender and sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Not the thoughts of man, not our agenda, not something we're just bent on doing, whether it goes against the Spirit of God or not. I've always endeavored to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, because I would be fearful to stand up behind this desk to even attempt to speak of thus saith the word of the Lord unless I know that it is a thus saith the word of the Lord. We don't need to follow the course of man, but we must always come back to the word of the living God and endeavor with the help of the Holy Spirit, be bold and courageous and in love to proclaim the uncompromising message of the Word of God. Go ahead and clap, and I'll take a glass of water. In Matthew chapter 16, let me read you just a few verses of Scripture, beginning with the very first verse. Now, the Pharisees also came with the Sadducees, and they tempted and desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair. It'll be fair weather. And then when it is evening, you say it will be fair and weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather, today, for the sky is red and lowering, but the word actually means like it's going to be stormy. And so Jesus is listening to these Pharisees and Sadducees talk about it. Now his response to them was, "Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time." I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the signs of the time, for a few minutes. May I do that? Let's go over now to chapter 24 of the same book. Jesus is speaking. Now Jesus then, he comes with them in chapter 24. It says that Jesus went out and he departed from the temple and his disciples, and they came to him and they wanted to show him the buildings of the temple. Now watch this closely. Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all of these things? For verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Well, right away we know something cataclysmic is going to happen, don't we? Because that's exactly what they're saying and thinking. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and then the disciples still pondering what he had said. Because they knew even back in the teachings and the preachings and the prophetic utterances of the Old Testament prophets that there was coming a day ahead that the Messiah would come. And in the course of all of that, there was going to be the destruction of even the earth or the age as we know it. So now here they are, they've come to the Lord, and now then they're up on the Mount of Olives, and this is what's taking place. He makes this statement, there's not going to be one stone left upon this building, not one. It'll all be destroyed. So they got close to him on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples, the scripture talks about, they came to him and spoke to him privately. Now there's nobody else listening, so Lord, you can tell us what you're talking about. Tell us what you're talking about. Because they had already heard from the Old Testament prophets something cataclysmic was going to happen. Now watch this. He said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came and said unto him privately, saying, "Tell us what shall be the signs, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, and when are these things going to take place?" So he said three things. When are these things going to happen? What will be the sign of thy coming? And when will the end of the world or the end of the age be? Now Jesus would then stop right there and let me stop where I am. Three questions he wanted to deal with. When are these things going to happen? When is this cataclysmic hour going to take place? When is all of this that you're going to explain it to us for just a little bit? Now I want to tell you something that comes to my memory in opening of this, and to try and set a picture against the backdrop of where we are today. The Pope addressed the United Nations some time back. I'll never forget this one phrase that caught my attention that the Pope was saying to the United Nations. And it went like this. I'm paraphrasing, but this is pretty well verbatim the way he said it. He said, "I don't know the time. I don't know the place. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I do know this, that there is coming a cataclysmic hour upon the world. And we need to understand," he would say, "the signs of the time." This coming from the Pope. I'm paraphrasing it. Now, if we're sitting here this morning, all of us realize, if you think back to the times of World War I, World War II, most of us weren't born. But in World War I, it was a war that the phrase was to end all wars. That's basically the theme of World War I, and it was for democracy, to keep democracy free. Now, if that war was to end all war, they didn't take into account that 20 years later, almost 20 years later, another war would come on the scene. It would be the war we call World War II, the Great War. Now think about this for a moment. President Roosevelt would say in his speech, you can read about it, that this war was for democracy and for freedom throughout the whole world. And we fought that war. Now, during the time as a child, these are memories that I have as just a child. This war was going on, and I can remember in grade school that we had something in the school called duck and cover. Now, I remember this. And so we heard about the war, just, but you're a child. But you do remember, I mean, it's an event that's forever etched in your memory. And a lot of you, most of you are much, much too young to know that. And thank you, I didn't really mean what I said just then. But I was messing with you just a little bit. But you're like me, you do remember it. You remember that. So it was a drill for if the bombs start falling. So here we are as children diving in under the desk. So we're all, you know, we all just think it's a great fun. And so we're hiding in under the desk. But then later on, of course, you realize things aren't fun. You become older. Now you're a grown man. So this is what I remember now, reading about the war and studying it, because I was fascinating about it. Fascinated. So then something came along that was different than the bombs and the warfare of World War I and World War II. We had what is known as the atomic bomb. And at that particular time, what would happen? Then, of course, the Japanese hit Pearl Harbor in 1941, and that's what brought America into the war. And Hitler's idea was that if we can get America tied up in fighting a war off in the Pacific, which was Hawaii, they won't have time to mess with us over in Europe. So Japan bombs Pearl Harbor. So then what Hitler didn't take into account when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, that's what brought America into the war. But the declaration of the war would not only be against Japan, it took in Germany and Italy. So it didn't work. So it would be then in 1944 when they landed on the beach of Normandy, Hitler thought those American boys, they're too soft and they're not going to do anything. And 9 months later, that dude was dead. When those Americans joined those Allies in that evil killer, madman, that murdered through his own evil over 80 to 85 million people died in the course of his madness and his evil. And not only that, he instigating the destruction of God's children, over 6 million Jews. But when the Americans and the Allies hit the beaches of Normandy, that coward crawled into a hole and took his own life. And God's people prevailed, and we won that war with the greatest generation. God bless America for that. Now I kind of got emotional on that, didn't I, just a little bit. But let me carry this a little bit farther. Now then everything changed. Everything changed. Suddenly we weren't talking about atomic bombs. We're We're not talking about that anymore. We're talking about, now, how many of you can remember this? I remember the days as a young man that they were building what we call, I don't know what the phrase is, but it was like a tunnel that would go all around Fort Worth. It would go around all the way to Waxahachie and around, and it was called a collider. Does anybody have any recollection of what I'm talking about? And so the plan was that they were going to be able, as I recall it, to split like an atom by making this whirl around so hard inside of that that it would, in other words, they were trying to enhance or something along the line that when they learn to split the atom, maybe they can do something. How that all turned out, I really don't recall. I don't think it went very far, but that was the plan. But what happened in the meantime since World War II came along, nuclear capability. Then they found out that they had the capability of all the war bombs and everything else that was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, all of that combined, many times over, pales in comparison what is then available that they can place a warhead, a nuclear warhead, on the tip of a missile. And so we lived, Russia had it, the United States had it, they had built up many warheads on these missiles, and we entered into an era of call MAD, which means mutually assured destruction. Now listen to me, all of this is part of this message. This is against the backdrop of where we are today. This is where we are right now. This is what's happening. So we have now the capability, if this World War III broke out, it's a matter of all that have this nuclear capability is a capability is just, it's like pushing buttons. Now, maybe you remember this. By the way, I'm just going to do a part of this right now, and I'm going to finish it up tonight. I'd just like for you to know that. I've spent a lot of time this week on preparing this because somewhere, somehow, we've got to have preachers standing up in these pulpits across this land. God bless them for all the things that they're preaching and all the things, but my God, at some point you quit preaching to the choir and you begin to let this church No, I'm talking about the body of Christ. It's time that we better wake up and begin to hear from God and warn this nation there is an impending coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as watchman, what of the wall, he says the morning cometh, but also the night. Now listen to me. Listen to me very closely. This mutually assured destruction means buttons can be pushed, capable of one of these warheads on these missiles, can be exchanged, can obliterate an entire city. Now just think about that. This is where we're sitting right now. We're sitting in a world that has the capability of total annihilation of the human race. And there's only one thing that's holding that back. And that's the hand of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the only thing that can hold at bay the madness that's going on in this world. Now think about this. Think about this. 9/11, September 11, 2001. That's the closest thing that's vivid to all of us of war that attempted to come to our country in an outward attack. I remember where I was on a Monday, was the 10th. I'd been preaching at World Harvest Church, Rod Parsons Church, over the weekend, and then the Bible school that morning, on Monday morning. And the next morning, I got up and boarded a plane back to California. And then I went to bed that night and woke up the next morning with the phone ringing. It's a friend of mine who said, "Do you have on the television?" That was 9/11. Well, all of us experience this. This is clear to every one of us. I mean, you can just close your eyes right now and see the scene that I'm describing to you. And all of us will never forget it. You're glued to that television. We saw a building burning, one of the world towers. They have twin towers. One of them was burning. And the news was talking about a plane that got off course, and they thought at first it had to be some kind of freakish accident. But while we're watching that, and they're, you know, the news is debating all of these things back and forth, all of us remember this now. It was chilling. It almost looked like a little toy-looking thing around that other standing building. Around those two buildings. One is burning, and that plane, you remember it vividly, how you could see it on the screen, and it's going around that other building, and then it turns, and it comes back in to the second tower. And you sit there and hold your breath watching that plane disappear into that tower and an explosion take place. And then everybody knew, we're under attack. We're under attack. And then it's only hours later that we watch. Now remember this. This is an attack upon the financial structure of America. Don't forget what that attack was about. It was by design. The financial structure of America in New York City, represented by the financial twin towers, suddenly they came crashing down. But it wasn't long after that, then we begin to see another plane come in, and it, of course, hit the Pentagon. That represented the military power of the United States of America. And then, of course, we hear about another power, another plane that's coming. And then that one didn't make it, but they would find out later that the intended target was the Capitol, which would be the leadership of America. Destroying this nation, it was an act of war. But they didn't succeed. But Karen, there were some young men on that plane that had other ideas. Never forget this. That somehow was picked up on the news by the wife. I'm sitting here, if you can probably call out his name. But all I know is he was speaking, and the husband had said to the wife on the plane phone, we're being attacked on this plane. And boy, I mean, you know, as a man, I'd like to think that if I was on that plane, that I had that courage. I would like to believe that I have, but I would like to believe that I could do that. Because the design of those terrorists that had used that serving tray had crashed into the door of where the pilot would sit and broke that door down. And the husband on the other end of that end of the line said to his wife, "I've got to go." And those other heroes, man, I'm getting kind of, y'all can see it, can't you? I'm tensing up. I'm ready to kick something right now. Forgive me. She heard him say to the others, "Let's roll." Whew. Good grief. Wouldn't you like to get up like Sister Karen was saying to all of these that are attacking our nation? Don't you quake in fear. Get on your spiritual Holy Ghost bones and shout back, "Let's roll! Let's roll!" And of course they drove down that plane. They broke in. And they fought over it and drove that plane into the ground. That was attack upon the United States of America. And of course, I'll never forget George Bush
the younger, number 43. George Bush, 43, stood in all of that smoldering stuff along with firefighters and so on, and we all recall his words. We have heard from the enemy, and they will hear from us very soon. Now, all of that compiled together, Jesus said in chapter 24 of this particular verse, he said, now, in chapter 24, he said, Jesus went out and parted from the temple. Then he showed them, he came to him and showed him the temple. Jesus said, see ye not these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be one stone that shall be left upon another. They shall all be thrown down. Then he said, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came privately unto him, saying, three things. Tell us, when shall these things be? Secondly, what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world, or the end of the world system as we know it? Jesus said, take no heed that no man deceive you. Now, I want to speak to this very first point for just a few minutes. The number one tool, I believe with all of my heart, that the enemy uses against you and me and the people of the world that are vulnerable even more so to his devices, is the word deception. You just look around at what is going on in this world right now and how people are deceived. The deception. Everything that is being chased today, everything that comes from the mind of man that goes against the will of God is a futile, deadly path to go down. Now, when I think about where we are in this world, the capability of the extermination of mankind through all of these kinds of weapons today, and it can all be done with the pushing of a button. And I wonder, with everything that is at stake today, why? I'm just saying, why the pulpits recognizing if Jesus was preaching on the urgencies of the end and the second coming of the Lord, well, we're obviously 2,000 years closer to that event. And with everything, it seems like on many levels, collapsing all around us, the church sits around too much preaching to the choir. You're okay, and I'm okay, and everything's good, and well, what am I missing here? They don't see the danger. Years ago, there was a movie came out, and I do not remember the name of it, and I asked O'Neill, can you remember it? And we couldn't try, but I remember it vividly. Just one of those things you can't forget. And let me quickly give you the scene, because it's important. The scene in that movie has to do with, it opens up, it was a high budget thing, and it opens up like this. It opens up and as they can do in camera, they're showing the cameras obviously from a plane or a helicopter, and it picks up a beautiful pastoral scene like in the pastures and the farmlands, and it had to be, of course, in the beautiful Midwest, or at least the central mid part of the country, maybe Kansas, maybe Nebraska. But anyway, where the flatlands are in the beautiful center of our nation, and it shows farmland, and then it shows this beautiful little quaint farmhouse. And then as it gets in closer, it zeroes in, and children now are coming out of the house, and two or three children, and small, and they're playing in the yard, and it stops there. And then sound kicks in, and you can hear the children laughing. And then they're playing. And then in a few moments, they begin to push a little deeper into the backyard area. And there, before too long, they come up against this enormous wire fence. And that fence must be 10, 12 feet high. They couldn't go any farther. And then they zero in on a sign on that fence and said, "Do not cross, property of the United States government." And then they continue to move on over there and take that plane on over. And it comes down to where they hover over inside that fence. And this huge door opens up. And down 100, 200 feet, you can see the tip inside that silo of this massive missile. And the caption reads, "One push of the button, what comes out of this thing can destroy a great portion of the world." And these are all over in places in the country and other places of the world. North Korea with their threats, and Iran with their threats, and Russia, and all of this is a timber keg about to explode. And in the midst of it all, Jesus against a backdrop. Do you realize that the early Christians in the early days of our Lord, this was their greeting to one another? Maranatha. Everything was Maranatha when they greeted one another, which means the Lord cometh. So everything that they had heard, now he's ascended, they had greeted, "Maranatha, the Lord cometh." When is the last time you've heard a preacher get behind a pulpit on television and begin to preach with urgency? "He's coming. Get ready. He's coming." And yet the world has been lullabied, and even the church world has been lullabied into this place of contentment, and everything's okay, and we don't have to worry. And then the compromise that's taking place. And yet I keep hearing this song. I can hear the sounds of his coming. And we used to, I heard Billy Graham sometime back talk about, he said, we used to hear preaching everywhere on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is no motivation that keeps you alert and alive and at the ready more than at any moment, at any second, the trump of God is going to sound and Christ is coming back to the earth. Nothing motivates us like that. Nothing stirs this evangelist like that. That at any moment, I must tell you that I do approach this pulpit. I believe my wife could tell you, like it's the very first time I've ever done it. And I feel in my spirit, this may be the last time that I ever get to stand into a pulpit. And I approach this with urgency. If there's not but one person in this building was without God, I feel like I've got to give it everything I've got. I want to know that everybody that ever heard this preacher preach this morning has heard the message that he's coming, but you've got to be ready to meet him. Don't you get discouraged up here, boy. You just keep on preaching. Whether they amen you or not, it doesn't make any difference. He said, now, I want you to take heed that no man is going to deceive you. And he said, I want you to also remember many false Christs shall come and deceive you. Do you know, I read sometime back that there are over 10,000 people in the United States of America that claim to be Christ. And we all laugh at that. We all think that's funny. I remember Grand Junction, Colorado, years ago, and I was preaching. They came into me, and the pastor was ill, but it's a great church there in Grand Junction. And we had gone on additional weeks, and so the place had filled up and everything on a Sunday night. And some deacons came rushing back to me and said, there's a man out there, he's claiming to be Christ, and he's in a white robe. And what are we going to do? Because the pastor's not here. How do we handle this? Well, I'm from Texas, and I wear boots. I didn't say that, but that's true. I don't know why I've got these shoes on this morning. But in any event, so I said, well, I'll go out there and take care of it, and service is beginning. And so So I said to this young man that's there, and he's the high school wrestling champion that won all state in wrestling. So he's like this. He's about that wide, only about that tall, but he's nothing but muscle. And he won the championship in wrestling for the whole state of Colorado. So he was in there, and I said, what I want you to do, I said, no, I don't know anything about this guy, but you get right in the back, kind of like back there where they come in. And I said, if you see me do this, if I just look at you and do this, come a running. So now you remember, you're laughing. All right, I can see it like yesterday. So I come down off of the thing, and I go down there to where he is, and I'm kind of talking to him. And so he's got on this white robe. And so then I said, I'm glad to have you, and all that kind of thing. He gets up, and he's got somebody with him, whoever it was, I don't remember, but he's his assistant, Jesus, I guess, or whatever. And so he begins to flutter like this with that. I said, I'm here, I'm going to take over this meeting. And so I said, listen, I'm really glad to have you, and you're welcome, but you know, you're going to have to behave yourself. And I said, you need, and he keeps doing this, like this. And so finally I said, now you're going to be, and then he kind of got a little feisty with me. And I thought, well, I ought to just kind of smack him myself. But you know, you can't be doing that. Daddy said, don't hit anybody in the church. That's not good. So I said, okay. And I said, a lot of them are too big for me anyway. And so finally he's carrying on like that. And so I said, now listen, I'm glad you're here, but if you're not going to behave yourself, well, we can get on with this service. I said, I've got a man right back there just waiting to take care of this. Well, when I pointed, I'm just telling him I got somebody back. Well, all of a sudden I turn and look, and I'm telling you, that wrestler, he is coming down the aisle, and I mean, Jesus saw him, picked up like he was just a little bitty thing, and starts walking with him to the door and kind of gently sets him down on the outside. I wish every one of you, yeah, really, what a memory, right? But now, of course, we kind of laugh at that. That is funny when you think about it. But I've seen it in different forms in 56 years across this country. Remember Zonell in Anaheim in the auditorium when the building was so packed, they had two or three guys that thought they were Jesus, and they were over there trying to make the walls get bigger, expand it where we could do 1,000 more in there like that. Well, you know, you got to behave yourself. You can't be, you know, you just can't let people take over with things like that. But listen to me very closely. You're living in a culture today. You know this. If you can figure out a little Eastern sound, put you on a robe, chant some things that don't make any sense, beat a drum and walk through, you can get some followers. But let me tell you something. This is an hour. I want to pound on this nail for a few minutes just right here. In this hour, it's time you and I realize it's not negotiable. I know what I believe. I'm standing on thus saith the word of the Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. And everything and anything that comes through that's popular, that tries to deceive you and pull you there and pull you there, I shall not be moved. You're wasting your time. My Bible said, let every other way, let every other man be a liar, and let God's word be true. There is no other way from earth to heaven except through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So he said, many are going to come, and they'll try and deceive you, and they'll try and carry you off. And we have a culture today that's coming to church this morning. We passed the Church of God. I'm going there. God bless the Church of God. I prayed for them on the way. Then we passed the Baptists. I think they were Southern. Then over there, Northern, God bless you. God bless you. Then I think there was the Church of Christ. God bless them all. God bless them all. She and I kind of began to giggle. I said to her, isn't this going to be something when they get to heaven, and I'm just imagining this, and they're all walking in like, where's the Baptist section? And I'm Catholic. Where's that? And this isn't in the Bible. And then St. Peter, he's going with his little scissors. Oh, let's just snip all that off and get on there and behave yourself. There's no separation here. We're all one in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. But of course, to make that little silly point, to have some merit on it, when you stop and think about it, our whole world is subject to such they're vulnerable. Because let me tell you something. If you don't know what you believe, you can believe most anything. That was a pretty profound statement. I mean, I said it. It's a pretty profound statement. If you don't know what you believe, then that means you're susceptible. You're a little bit more susceptible. But when you know in whom you believe and you are persuaded, oh, hallelujah, there is a great sense of security to put your head on the pillow at night, whether you wake up or whether you don't. Either way, you're going to win. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I'm secure in the infallible word of the living God that when I give my life to Christ, whether I'm here or whether I'm there, I'm in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think I'm going to just kind of stop it right there. I think I'm going to stop it right there. I think I'm just going to pick up on the other 3 points for tonight. I just feel like saying something here. Wars and rumors of wars. Then I want to deal with this. I call it just a demonic hatred that's in our world today. Like something I lived in the 60s. I saw the little hippies doing their little things out there. I never felt anything like I feel it today from powerful people bent on hate. It's almost palpable. It's almost like it has a face. It has a visibility like it just, it's so evil. The hate. Whether you vote for a president or not, you respect that office. And I have presidents that's been in there that I didn't vote for them, but I certainly prayed for them just as much as if the one I voted for, I prayed for them that God would give them wisdom and lead them, and that they can come to know Him in power and in truth. And if I didn't get the one I wanted, that didn't change me for holding Him up as my president and respecting the office of that land. But folks, we've got something going on right now that to me is a very frightening thing in the natural. But when I stand on the Word of God, I take my strength. I have my faith in the living God, and I stand upon that faith. And I look fear in the face. You will never destroy it, because we will stand in our faith against everything that comes against this country, because it's America that is standing for Israel. It's America that Donald Trump said, don't mess with this country. It's America that our president said, don't mess with people of faith. I heard Dr. Jeffries, that Baptist preacher over in Dallas, talking this morning, and I'm telling you, he went down the line on all of this, and he brought out the Word of the living God. Let me tell you something, we're in for a battle. But I don't know about you, I feel like I've been preparing for this battle for a long time. It kind of, welcome to the good fight, welcome to the fight. Man, I'm not into the compromise. I'm not into just sitting back and just bless me and bless ours. I want to do something. I want to take a world for God. I want to... Preach it, son. Preach it. Preach it. That little bald spot, I tried to cover it. Boy, the brighter they get that light, there's nothing I can do about it. I believe everything for a reason, and I believe I'm here today to stir up this body, to lend support to all that you've stood for all of these years, that we're on the brink. I'm going to finish it tonight. Now, the Dallas has already won their game. You don't have any excuse for staying home. You bunch of dudes, get your boots on, get in those pickups, and get on back here tonight. It ought to be a great service tonight. Dallas won. And Dak and Zach did a good job, didn't they? This is the greatest hour for the church. And the question is, are you ready for that? Are you ready to take your stand for Jesus? I'm not here to call any names and talk bad about anybody. I'm telling you that it's time that these pulpits begin to ring with authority and in love. Love. Nothing matters if you don't do things in love. And let the world know the problem in America is not a white thing, not a black thing, it's not a brown thing, it's not a red thing. It's a sin thing. And America cannot lose her strength. And her strength comes from the living God. And no matter what others do, we that are believers, and I'll touch on this tonight, have become the extinct species. They can believe you come from an animal. They can believe we just came from the Big Bang theory. Something was just flying through the air one day, and it somehow, it collided, that whatever that was, and it began to fall to the earth, matter, and it kept coming, and it fell into a little puddle, into the puddle, And then it began to wiggle. And it grew a tail. And then it grew its tail and it crawled along and it began to climb up a tree. Yeah. And it climbed up this tree and it got up there and it began to grow. Got bigger. And then it fell out of the tree and broke its tail off. And now it's walking upright and it went into Macy's and bought itself a suit and a suitcase and a briefcase and enrolled in college and became an educated man. And that's the Big Bang Theory. That pretty well covers it. And as silly as that sounds, is no sillier than what many believe. Quite close to that, the Big Bang Theory. And you think that we not are in a place today that we ought to awaken. And Jesus is saying, can I count on you? Can I count on you to stand firm in what you believe? Because Maranatha, the Lord is coming. Is this all we want to be remembered as? Is people that just came once a week? And I'm glad you do. And we just come and bless me, bless mine. Okay, get it going here. Okay, I did my due diligence here and I'll go on my... No. Do you think there's more to it than that? I think the heart needs to beat with passion. Just think where he brought me from. And I've got to tell the world, I want to be a flame. I want God to take a coal off of the altar and plant it in my soul. And set me as a member of the body of Christ, a flaming, loving, caring, bold, fearless champion for Jesus Christ. And when people see me, they can say, I don't know what the deal is with those people, but I sure would like to know what they've got. Would you like that presence inside you? Well, I'd like to have that as a preacher of the gospel. Amen. That I'm standing up here waving the flag and sounding the alarm and the glorious news, Maranatha, the Lord cometh. That's the way they greeted one another in the early church. Maranatha, the Lord cometh. So the prophecies of the Old Testament proclaimed it. The disciples proclaimed it. Jesus proclaimed it. And on that last walk that he took a few days after the resurrection, he's walking along with a few of his and disciples and said, now don't forget this. You get on into that city of Jerusalem and you tarry there till you be endued with power from on high, Acts 1 and 8. And then it talks, he went a little bit farther and then all of a sudden his feet don't hit the gravel anymore. Suddenly he's just in midair. And he's going up and up and up. And scripture says that the cloud received him out of their sight. And behold, an angel appeared. Boy, they always show up when you need them. Hey. Why stand ye here, gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see. I look calm, but I'm really jumping on the inside right now. I've been preaching this my whole life. My daddy preached it his whole life. So you're not raining on my parade. I'm about to do a jump right now. This same Jesus that you see go away, he's going to come back again. And he's going to receive you unto himself. That where he is, church, you may be also. I think we're close. Wait just a minute. What is he doing? I'm practicing the rapture drill. As it said, at any moment, the dead in Christ will rise first. Why first? I'm no theologian in that respect. I don't really know. I could take, well, why not? Kind of gives him like a split hair twinkle of an eye head start. Just kind of like, okay, it's getting up time, children. Let's go. They're coming out of that grave. Not with that old body, but a brand spanking new one. Jesus said, you're going to have a body just like I had in my resurrected body. The dead in Christ are going to be raised first. Then we which are alive, we're all going to be caught up. What rapture just simply means, snatched away. To be, this is a perfect rendering. It's like somebody catches the nap of your coat and neck and jerks you up. That's exactly what it means. Snatched away. That's all that means. He's going to snatch you away. Now, this is just my own little personal thing. I read my Thompson Concordance this morning. It's not real accurate, but I'll go with it. And when y'all preach it, do it your way. But I've always thought, wouldn't it be just kind of cool for a minute instead of just like the twinkling of an eye? And just somehow, I'd just like to, for a moment, get to be able to be turned around and go up looking down like this. And looking at the devil and all that bunch on there and go, nah, 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 nah. Okay, let's go. Because of those that preach the lie, Scripture says we'll be damned. But we know we never take pleasure. My reference in that is just to the devil himself. But everyone else, our hearts break. Because God so loved the whole world, he gave his only son. Well, 11:59, I'm finished. But I'm just cranking up tonight. And what? Can you give me 30 minutes tonight? Talk to me.
Yes.
Because I feel an urgency. I feel an urgency in this today. I'm not messing around. I feel an urgency that God wants to give Calvary Cathedral the greatest move of the Holy Spirit ever that you've ever witnessed. I want to say to Tony and Karen, God's brought you here, and I'm just believing that God's going to use you in a mighty way. All that gift that you have and all the places that you've blessed through these years, that he's going to use you in a mighty way. And Tony and Karen, I respect you and I love you. And I thank God and I praise God that you're here. And Paul, every time I pull up out there, you meet me out there and you open that door and help us get in. And doctor, that wonderful word you brought today in Africa, I preached in Africa so many, many times. My heart goes out to missions. Oh, people, listen to me. Listen to me. Ask God before we leave this morning. God's set my soul aflame. Fall in love with Jesus Christ all over again and remember where he was when he found you. This church has gone through a lot of struggles. Your pastor's attack upon his body. And I'm just going to say that with all the things that has attacked his life and his ministry. My precious niece that needs a miracle of God, that lays in there, and for all of these years, and the kind people that's been there to love them and hold them and bless that child. I remember when that beautiful blonde-haired girl walking around in this church. I believe it's an attack upon this ministry. I believe these attacks upon your life is to come against you being what God wants you to be. I believe the attack upon my wife is an attack that I take personal. Let me tell you why I take it personal. The enemy attacking, that's my body. When we married, we became one. So I want the devil to know any attack upon her is an attack upon me, and I take it personal. And beside that, I can extend that and say, any attack upon you is an attack upon me, because you're my brother and my sister in the Lord. Any attack upon you, I take that personal. You know why? Because we're one. He's my brother. Get up, I want to hug you anyway. I'm going to grow a beard just like you, because I just love it. I'm going to hug her too. I want to hug you, boy. I'll tell you one thing. He married up. Way up, that guy did. You know why? Because we're all brothers and we're all sisters in the Lord. And it's time that we just recognize. I know you've done this, but it's time we just take a fresh stand against the attack upon Pastor Nichols, against the attack upon my sister Joy, and upon Janet. And we're going to do it. How long are we going to stay in the attack mode? We're going to go like Joshua said, until the sun goes down. We're going to fight. We'll never quit. We'll never give up. We're never going to retire. We're never going to take it easy. We're never going to enter some kind of detente. We're in this for the duration. And I'll tell you something else. As far as this physical, the outcome, how that happens, I'm holding firm in my faith for her. Holding firm for me, holding firm for all of you. But I just want to send this shout out right there. Whatever he chooses is his will. I'm good with that. If he heals me now, heals me later. I'm good with that. See, I'm in this for the duration. I'm not in this for the duration, provided he does what I tell him to do. No, 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 no. If he never does another thing for me as long as I live, he's paid me back in full. I just can't imagine the life he's allowed me to live. And the people I've got to talk to about my Lord and Savior, I just want you to know, we're in this. We're in this for the distance. All right, it's 12:04. It's too late now. The Baptists are already filled up. Bluebies. I wanted to get in there first. So, dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. How many will now just say, let's just come a little bit and just stay here with me a little bit and let me finish. Let me finish what I really feel led of the Lord for you tonight. I want you to get here tonight. And just hang in here with me, and let me just finish it. Because I believe tonight is going to be a night, and you must remember this. I'm going to love you if you come. I'm going to love you if you don't. But I can tell you one thing. You need to know this. It will be a life-changing moment. But more than any of that, it will be just an example of, you know what? That guy came in here and preached, but he came in here with something that needed to be said, and just touched me. I want to, for this new year, I just want to set a new heart of rededication to God. And I want to just sort of make it public by being in here tonight and see what he wants to finish up that he started today. Is that okay with everybody?
Amen.
And I love you and respect you so very much. You're here this morning, and as we close, you say, Dwight Thompson, that stirred me up this morning, and I just have something in my life, and I'd just like to make it all right with God. Maybe you're here, you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe people do that. They'll come in and they feel some kind of sanctuary in their spirit. Well, I went to church, and the devil will say, oh,